Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 151 of the Vex on Vex podcast. My name is VexX. Joining us today on sadly a very somber day is Mr. Billadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Billadelphia.
Why, hello.
How are you on this fine day?
I am beautiful.
Sad day. If we're going to explain briefly, our dear friend, he's known on social media as Mr. Billy Bottles. We knew him as Bill Morrissey. He has passed away, unfortunately, and today we went to the service the week before his official burial, which is a weird situation to be in. We are officially middle-aged people, and these things are happening in our lives, but it's still sad nonetheless. But Bill's here, and we went to lunch with Johnny Mac and his lovely bride, Tiffany, who wanted a shout-out today. So hello, Tiffany.
I'm getting that glass, Tiffany.
Oh, Billadelphia. So what'd you think of the gathering, sir?
Social event of the season. But I do got to say, he was a great guy, and he will be missed. And they did a good job. He looked great. His hair looked fantastic.
He's a handsome motherfucker, isn't he?
Very debonair.
Dude. And I said this to his drummer. I was like, this guy's dead. He fucking looks better than I do. And he really did.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a handsome
I was jealous.
Boy.
Whoever did his makeup, you know.
They didn't need a lot of makeup. He was a good-looking kid. So, unfortunately, he's no longer with us. So, I guess we'll, like, have a little bit of memories today in reference to him. He was, let me switch this around. I'm so sorry. Bear with me. So, Mr. Billy Bottles, Bill Morrissey, was the vocalist for a local Philadelphia band called Euphoria. Now, it's a really weird spelling. Do you know the spelling, Mr. Billadelphia?
I thought it was E-U-P-H-O-R-I-A.
It is the letter U, the number four.
And then
I-A.
I-A.
Or R-I-A.
Okay.
Euphoria.
Okay.
And that's they were in high school when they started this band. And we were all actually in high school when we started our fucking bands.
Yeah.
Was ACID your first band to play out live?
Yeah.
Okay, so Billadelphia was the lead guitar player in the seminal, influential, Philadelphia-based goth rock and roll band called Another Cry in Darkness, ACID. Johnny Mac was the drummer. No, for real.
Yeah, Johnny Mac's an amazing drummer.
He still is, man.
Yeah,
he's always a beast. And then I was a part of a band called The Broken.
Yes.
Which has morphed into Starscream because it's the same fucking band. King Sam and I have been together sincerely since February of 1994.
That is so cool.
And we all pretty much started playing our shows at the same time.
Yes.
Around each other and with each other. Our most successful shows as young men were with each other.
At the Forens, correct?
No, the fuck that.
Or
The Mosh for AIDS.
That's right.
And the dear Billy Bottles, he was a part of all that. He was in
yes,
our circle.
Was.
And then there was Euphoria. And he was cool. And, like, you know, he was a frontman. I was a frontman. There were some dramas there back in the day. But he is a phenomenal young man. We're fucking sad and sorry he's gone. And you're on the camera, so you should probably say
it
hello.
It is a shame to see him go. And hi.
Use the microphone, you
bastard. I'm sorry. I was looking at the camera.
Now, if we're going to speak bluntly... And I like to speak bluntly when on the microphone or when I'm at the podcast. Bro, there were hot women at this man's service.
Yes, there were.
And I was just sitting there going, ooh.
Yeah.
And
we are scumbags.
He had a thing for blondes. There were a lot of good-looking blondes there. And I was like,
thick,
some,
juicy.
Some were thick.
Blondes.
Some were thin. Some were hot. Dude, Billy had fun.
Yes.
He had a life, man.
Yeah, there were bitches.
And then, you know, you think... mortality, what's going to happen when we die type of thing, you know? I don't know. All mine are angry. I don't think they're coming to the funeral.
Yeah, I wish I could have a lineup like that coming through at some point.
They were smoke shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I should have brought business cards. Like,
yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello,
but I didn't
Karen.
Have his hair, so I don't know. It's not really comparable.
Yeah, it's a shame to see that go to the grave.
It's such a waste. And then truthfully, the family was, it was sad. His mom's broken up. Now, Starscream's original drummer, well, not original drummer because we had a lot of drummers.
More than Spinal Tap.
Yeah, so when we were still called The Broken, before Billadelphia and myself started playing together in shows, not together, but you know, in shows.
Dutch Rudders count.
Bill was our drummer, Bill Vickery.
Yes.
A lot of Bills in our life.
Yeah, great guy.
And he passed away about 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Before the pandemic really kicked in. And his mother and father, who I more or less grew up with as a kid, they were fucking crestfallen.
Yeah.
And today, Bill's family was also quite crestfallen. It
yes.
was like, it's very depressing.
It was tough to watch.
But again, hot girls at the funeral. Just
yeah.
saying.
Bill you know his dad well. Was proud of him. His dad looked at him and was like, there you go, son. I didn't know he had it in you.
No, it
was, or he didn't know he had it in them.
He was
wait,
a good-looking
something
kid.
Like that.
Now, wait, should I show this? Yeah, I'm going to show
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is the beautiful photograph they had at his memorial in his
great
mass
photo.
Guard. He's just a good-looking kid, man.
Yeah. He got the guns.
He had fun. And there's the information, the sad, tragic stuff on the back. We miss you, though. Billy Bottles, this episode of debauchery and bullshit's for you. And then Johnny Mac showed up with his awesome wife, and there they're cracking jokes, and we're all trying to feel like that was bad.
Oh,
like,
yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, oh, oh. And the family's looking at us like, you're assholes. I'm like, I know we're assholes.
Yeah, we are.
We don't mean to be assholes.
You know.
But we love him and we miss him. So rest in peace, sir. Now I guess we'll spin off of that. We'll talk about other shit. What's going on, Philadelphia?
Another good day in Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? How's everything in your world?
It's going.
It's going. All right. All right. We'll just keep it moving.
Today is August the 29th. No, I'm a liar. August the 26th. Tomorrow, Saturday, August 27th. Oh, I'm back on the fucking camera again.
Hey.
Starscream is playing live in Newark, Delaware at Halftime Bar and Grill Restaurant or something. I don't know what it's called. But it's called Halftime. Back in the day, 35 girlfriends ago, I was dating a girl named Marie, and we played there, and it was called Pale Dog. Now, you want to hear something fucked up? This is a fucked up story. Not that you care. I want to tell you anyway, Bill. I'm telling you.
I want to hear it.
Philadelphia.
I'm invested.
So we played Pale Dog. It was a thing. A lot of people didn't come out to see us because we don't have any fans in Newark, Delaware at the time. You know what I mean? And then we packed up the truck. Again, this is 07. We come back home. Years go by. I'm going through a divorce with my second wife, and I meet this girl. And she's eventually we go to hang out at her apartment. Hang out. That's where you have the sex, you know. So we go to her apartment, and I look, and I'm like, that's that club. It's like right there. And they had changed the name from Pale Dog to Halftime. And we kind of got back in their good graces because I was spending a lot of time around there at the time. That became my third wife. That was a thing. What are you going to do? So, and we're returning. And our current drummer for Starscream, because there's a lot of them too, his name is Master Marcus. He's a beast. He's a great little motherfucking drummer.
Great human.
He is a great human. He's awesome. I love him so much. He's like, I just love him. So he lives right near Halftime. So when we play Dobbs, it's kind of my responsibility as a musician to pull my friends in. But when we play Halftime, it's his responsibility. So I'm pushing it, but I'm not really pushing it because I only have one person who lives in fucking Delaware. Her name's Angie, and she's watching. Maybe she's coming out. That'd be nice. Also, anyway, Angie, you know about the barbecue on that date. We're not going to stay on the camera now, aren't we? Philadelphia. What's up with you, man? I haven't seen you in so fucking long, bro. You've been working. Like, what's working, up?
But Editor Ace has a new song out
on
YouTube called King of the Streets. It's a nice 80s-inspired synth-like punk song.
That's awesome.
Please check it out.
It just premiered.
Just premiered the other day, yeah.
That's awesome.
So I'm pumped about that. We're putting out a lot of new music. And stuff with the Rust Belt is going phenomenal.
You want to tell them about that?
Yeah, we're all going to have gold records one day, my friend, because this thing is taking off. Universal put up billboards around Philadelphia and other cities.
Las Vegas.
Vegas, LA, New York, Chicago, some Canada spots, I think.
Now, to be fair, they were digital billboards, but
yeah,
still.
It still counts. It's a billboard. Hey, they got to use electricity for us. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, Rust Belt's going phenomenal. I'm writing some new songs that I'm going to be sending you soon to write lyrics to.
I heard about that.
Yeah, oh, it's a good one. It's really, Michael liked it a lot. So between that stuff, I'm staying busy writing music, and I can't wait to get it out for everybody.
Did your son just have a birthday, or did I read
that
wrong?
Oh, yeah, my son, August 1st, 14. He's nuts. I love him.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
14?
14.
Jesus
where
Christ.
Did it go?
Right?
And the kid's going to be taller than me, thank God. He's going to, you know, be...
A big dude.
Yeah, he's going to be height-wise, so thank God.
Did he enjoy his birthday?
Yeah, he had a great birthday. I gave him a lot of cash and took him to Best Buy. And
the cash
helps. You
know what
I'm saying? Yeah, you know, he got all kinds of video games and stuff like that.
What system does he like to play?
PC Master Race, he says.
No, it's kind of true.
He loves that Steam.
Now, in the PC, can't you use auto fucking aim and all that shit? And, like,
I don't think
Call of Duty?
He's not, listen, he's not the cheating type. This kid is so straight. That he makes videos that he posts on some website, you know.
Sure.
But if he uses somebody's music, he finds out every liner note from that band,
okay,
and puts it in the credits. Every person that had anything to do with the song he releases,
yeah,
gets thanked. Like, the kid's meticulous. Like, he should be my band's manager because he puts the notes up. He doesn't want to rip any band off. So, like, say he used Starscream.
Which he didn't, but that's fine.
But if he does one day,
if he does,
he would name everybody in your band that might have had a part of the song.
It's hard awesome. To say in Starscream. It's a very incestuous process.
Yeah, but I mean, the kid's nuts like that, and he makes some funny videos. But right now he's playing some game called Postal 4.
Did you say Postal 4?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it like postmen losing their shit? Because that would be amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
No, it's not.
It looks like you're a postman version of like the Doom game. And, yeah, you know, I'm regretting some of his life choices. He's 14, so, You know, he's not out there really doing it. Him and his friends are just playing on a computer.
Do you know what I was doing at 14? Your friend, Steven, we won't say the last name, and I were friends at that age.
Yes.
And I had a cassette player recorder thing and a cassette tape. And we were having our first band practices in my mom's basement.
Really?
He had an old acoustic guitar that we did not tune, because who knows what tuning is.
Yeah.
And I had a fucking shitty bass my mom had bought me for fucking Christmas. A quart left-handed bass.
Wow.
And we were bad, bro. And we just pretty much taped ourselves talking. And then you sound like... It's a lot like listening to Beavis and Butthead. And if you listen to the tape back, it's like, oh my God. And there's actually a podcast way early in the Vex on Vex podcast things where I played the tape.
Oh, no.
The first band practice from 1990.
Is that on the Loud and Loaded Network?
Of course it is.
Oh, I got to find that.
It's a weird one.
Yeah,
it's
that was
like
a nice plug. I slid that one right in there.
And do you remember the bass player for the Broken Jimmy James?
Yeah.
So his name is Jim Schaefer. I know you're not watching, Jim, because you're at work. You might watch us later.
Jim's an awesome dude.
He is an awesome dude. He's moved down south. And he just called me, or actually, I guess, texted me the other day. And he was like, hey, man, I think we're going to start a podcast. And I got all excited. I was like, ooh. So we got to talk over the weekend. And I sent him like the Focusrite information. Hey, Focusrite, I could use a new Focusrite. Just saying. You want to sponsor somebody? Maybe sponsor me. Anyway, so what microphones to get, what interface to get. And he was like, do I need an account on iTunes? And I was like, well, I personally am on the Loud and Loaded Network, and I was going to try and bring them to the dark side, but they had their own thing already set up. So.
Well, that's good that they have.
How come you're not doing a podcast? Everybody has a podcast, Bill.
Because you know what? I like co-hosting yours when I get the chance.
Dun, dun, dun,
you know,
dun.
I'm a one-podcast kind of guy. You
I
know
don't
what
know
I'm
if
saying?
I agree with that synopsis. You're very well, you're versed at the microphone play.
Well, thank you.
Because initially we're both like,
the first microphone I almost ate, remember? I thought it was like a Twinkie, and I was just like, oh, it was delicious.
Well, it looked like a white penis. So yeah, now we have to change him.
I know.
And black phallus. Oh,
once in a while you see my muscle memory kick in, and I just kind of jerk it.
Anyway. I'm currently seeing a young lady.
Yes.
And she is actually into the TV Dads Wrestling podcast.
Thank God.
Right, no one else is.
I am. I want to be on it.
It doesn't exist.
We're starting it up again.
Anyway, Johnny Zero and myself used to have a podcast. That got like somehow a little following. There were 5,000 downloads a week. And a lot of that transferred over, fortunately, onto the Vex on Vex podcast. But we can't really break the 5,000 to 6,000 number. Like you need a minimum of like 10,000 downloads a week to even talk to a sponsor. Well, and we're living in 5,000 to 6,000.
Every time you get me on, you lose 1,000. So
that's not true. All right, here we are. It's been a minute. We're going to open up the lines of communication, Philadelphia.
Hi.
You went on vacation since the last time I saw you.
Yeah, I went to North Carolina, Outer Banks.
Can you tell us about
that? Amazing. The weather, the people, the food. Oh, listen, I'm fat. I'm proud to be fat.
You know you just lost 20 pounds.
Yeah,
right?
I just lost 20 pounds, but that's because I don't have the barbecue on me now. The barbecue there in North Carolina is incredible. The people are awesome, really laid back, really nice. It's not like Philly where everybody's a prick. Oh, no, it was great. The beaches, my son, my stepdaughter, my girlfriend all loved the beach. Everybody had so much fun. It was the greatest time, and I wish I could live there year-round.
If you lived there year-round, though,
yeah,
it wouldn't be cool, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I'll tell you what, like, if I had the money, I would do a longer vacation. I would do a much longer vacation.
Like, what are we talking? Would you do a month?
I would do like 6 months.
No.
Yeah.
You do half a year there.
I would do half a year there and then come back and work my ass off and then go back there.
I mean, not for nothing. You could do that.
Now, listen, one of my friends that I work with got it right. He works the first 3 weeks of the month, and then the last week he goes away with his girlfriend somewhere. And you know what? That is brilliant. I never thought of that before, and it is amazing.
Why don't you do it?
Because I'm financially getting myself ready to start doing
no
that.
No shit.
Yeah.
You're preparing.
Yeah. I'm just working all I can. I'm going to build up a nice little nest egg, and then we're going to start going more places the last week.
You always took vacations, though, with her. You guys go to Atlantic City and stuff.
Yeah.
Even during the pandemic, you were going away.
Yeah. We were going to, like, just small little, like, weekend trips.
Sure.
But I think North Carolina for a week wasn't enough. I should have done 2 weeks.
You might have got sick of it.
Yeah, but you know what? There's just something about, like, even if I didn't want to go to the beach, which was insanely close, I could just go right out the back door to a pool. It was so nice.
I'm really a beach person.
Yeah.
But if I go to, like, Dominican Republic, which I talk about all the fucking time, if I stay too long, I do miss home.
Really?
It's like heaven, but even too much of heaven's like,
all right, fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean, the comforts of home, like, think about it. You have a studio.
Yeah.
So if you're having a moment or, you know, you think of something, you can just run in.
Like, now, like, during that, I have like 8 voicemail messages on my phone.
Music, yeah.
Just like me humming like an idiot.
No, I do
but
it.
When I get home, I can transcribe it on my guitar or my keyboard.
I got tons of those.
It's crazy. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and just, if I was dreaming something, I'll just like hum it real fast and then the next morning try to decipher it.
Brandon Flowers. What the fuck band is he in? Incubus.
Yeah.
So Incubus was on MTV in the like the turn of the century, like 2001, 2002.
Yeah, when they're really big, right?
Yeah, that was like they were cresting. And yeah. He whipped out this little recorder and he was like, this thing has changed my songwriting life.
Digital?
That didn't matter. Whatever it was, it was, yeah, probably digital. And it would record whatever he had, whatever idea came up with, and it was just there, and it was readily available forever, only had a hard drive on it and stuff. Well, now our phones are that. They're very, very advanced.
Oh, yeah.
So the reality of it is, I write all my songs on my phone. Like I don't know about you, but I could be doing like a work task,
yeah.
Or I'm working on my house, or I'm cleaning, and I just have a melody.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're like, and you can fucking phone and just record that shit right away.
Yeah, all the time.
It is like
if I'm watching a movie and I don't feel like going up to the studio, I'll just hum it into my, you know.
Dude, that's a little lazy. You have a home recording studio.
I know, like, but if I don't feel like going up the 3 flights of stairs and, you know, and then plugging everything in, turning the computer on, waiting.
No, the plugging in's a thing, isn't
yeah.
it?
Because oh, yeah.
I don't leave my microphone set up. So no. If I want to make a demo for somebody, it's a whole fucking thing.
No, my
thing.
Guitar's on the wall.
Yeah.
Okay. The cords are all put away on a shelf.
Yeah.
You know, and everything's all covered. So then I got to, stead everything up, turn everything on.
Yeah.
And even if I'm up there playing video games and the recording system isn't on, but the video game is, I'd be like, I'll just record it on my phone. Like, I could just reach over and turn everything on. But no, I'm playing, Madden or whatever.
Did you buy the new Madden?
Unfortunately, I did. It sucks. Jesus fucking Christ.
What did you like about it?
That it's just more bullshit, man. Every year they just, they try to pull you in with, oh, yeah, we're making it better. We're not fucking up. There's glitches galore. It's just like sometimes your system will shut off.
Get the fuck out
of here.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Like, I have an Xbox Next Generation and a PS5. And I had the demo on both just to see which system I was going to buy it on. Okay? And I was close to the Xbox One. But then I was doing the franchise mode. And it just kept, there was a glitch in it. It kept shutting off my Xbox. And I looked up online and there was hundreds of other people that have the same issue. So I'm like, all right, fuck the Xbox version. So I got the PS5 version. And they, did some shit with the passing meter now where you can see a passing meter and have these special passes. And then
no.
It turns out to beef up the defense since they improved the offense. They gave, all these normal players X-Factor abilities, which is supposed to be for the special players.
Of course.
But there's players that shouldn't have it that have it just so they could keep up. And I'm like, that's cheating. It's
not cheating.
Well,
it's
bad. It's lazy programming.
You're like, that's cheating.
And all their player models either look like they're Schwarzenegger or they're the fridge. And I don't mean the football player or the fridge. I mean the fridge in your fucking kitchen. It's just a mess. And I don't know. There's just the same complaints that you have every year are still there.
Jason Kelsey looks amazing finally in his avatar.
Yeah.
Did you see him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally.
But every other player also looks like Kelsey now. It's like they cut and paste.
They're like, we like Kelsey.
I'm just bitter about it. I've been playing Madden since, 1989 on the PC. I had the first one that was really bad. And then I had the Genesis all those years.
My first Madden game was an 02 version.
Okay. Really? You didn't play Madden in the 90s at all?
I didn't. So when we knew each other,
yeah.
Right? All right, here's what happened. Timeline stuff.
Nice.
Thankfully, someone had sex with me. Her name was Kim. On February 19th of 1990.
Well, why not both?
Excuse me?
I had sex and then I would play Madden and tell him to get out of my room.
I'm just telling you what happened.
It was great.
So once I understood what it felt like to be inside of a young lady, video games and pro wrestling and all that stuff was just out of my fucking psyche. Like, for real, I just didn't care. I was chasing girls.
Yeah.
For years. Then I got a car. It turned out because I was 14, that was illegal.
Who knew?
eventually I got a real car. Then we built the band. So I don't even, I remember having a huge breakup, like a bad one.
Yeah.
And I had already bought a house by 97. Good. And I went out and I found an original Nintendo NES.
That's awesome.
Because now it's nostalgic land. It's like, yeah. Remember Mario Brothers? Doo, 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 doo. And I rocked that for a while and I was cool with that. And then I just kind of forgot about it. And then again, new girls, rock and roll, cars, career, video games were out of my life. And then I got another breakup. We went to Europe on tour. I came home. Me and the chick broke up.
We talked about that on a podcast.
And I was very sad.
Yeah.
So sad. And I went out and I got a PS2, which at the time was cutting edge.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got Vice City with Ray Liotta's voice on it.
That was a great game.
And I could work my stupid job all day and come home and Gatling gun cops until I fell asleep.
Just a normal day in your life.
Right. So I kind of... By the time San Andreas came out, Starscream was touring professionally. I had married someone. I lived in a condo in fucking Fairmount. Like, life was good. And there I'm playing San Andreas all summer. Like, and then, I don't know, hijinks ensue. So then I remember leaning heavily. Then Starscream on tour would always play Halo in the fucking touring vehicle.
That was a lot of fun.
We had a TV.
Yeah.
With an original Xbox, the original Xbox, yeah. And the four controllers.
I missed that.
And so as somebody was driving, four people could play fucking Halo in the bus.
That's awesome.
Right? Not the bus. It was at the time a van. And I could not play Halo. So when we came off the road, I didn't tell anybody, and I went and bought an Xbox just to have it, like, shh, like secret. And I practiced, and I practiced. And this is Halo 2.
Okay.
And I got decent, not good. Went back on tour a few months later, and they were still just blowing my face off. King Sam could snipe you from 1,000 miles away. Like, in one move, your face blows up. You're dead. Like, he was just a great sniper.
That was a fun game.
So we really, really played it. So then, when we stopped touring in that run, and then we all had to get day jobs and blah, 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 we had an Xbox. So then I got an Xbox 360. Ooh, I remember my girlfriend bought that for me for Christmas. It was like a big fucking deal. And then my ex-wife, another one, I get married a lot, bought me the Xbox One as a present. Now I got that fucking... So I'm an Xbox person. But I started out with a PS2 in modern gaming.
There was a friend that I grew up with, and we've since grown apart. But
yes.
Back in like the Madden 2004, 2005 days, we used to like just play each other every weekend in Madden. And he was a big Chicago Bears fan. So he would use, you know, Urlacher and the Bears.
You know, right around there they went, and they didn't win, but they went right around there.
He was on that bandwagon.
That was seven, I guess.
And I was an Eagles fan. And I would use the Eagles, he would use the Bears. And the Eagles weren't the best. So it must have been like 2003 before they were Super Bowl caliber of that era. And he had this incredible Hulk clock where like you'd hit a button and Hulk would like smash a wall apart. And then you could like rebuild the wall. It had like wire running through it to kind of build the wall back. It was like animatronic. It was really cool. But every time he got a sack with Urlacher, he'd hit that fucking button and you'd hear Hulk smash. So one time I was just so mad, like he got like four sacks in a row, you know, it's like fourth down and I went for it because I was mad and he sacked me and he sacked me and it was like, then it was like his ball, like the 20 yard line. He had an easy touchdown. So I took that goddamn clock and I threw it out of the window. I went, yeah, Hulk smash this motherfucker. And yeah, that's probably why we don't talk anymore.
I wouldn't talk to you
either. Yeah, I guess that would have done now. Hindsight's 2020, you know. And then you remember Twisted?
Of course.
Twisted would come over to play Madden. And I kicked a field goal, and then I did instant replay from seven different angles to show him how beautifully straight it was.
How did his head
47,
explode?
47 yard. Oh, he like cursed my mom out when he left and everything.
All right, this is...
She was like, goodbye. He's like, fuck you.
Philadelphia is a motherfucker. Our dear friend Firepants, who's legally a midget. You're a midget.
Hey,
you
know Firepants. Any of you okay?
So she's a midget. So she got one of those gaming systems where you plug it and it has everything.
Oh, yeah.
And so she got it, and I just pilfered this motherfucker. I was like, can I borrow your game? I like, never gave it back. I gave her a different gaming system.
Is that little Nintendo that you
That's
had?
That's that little Nintendo.
Oh, where we used to play the wrestling.
Let me tell my fucking story, Philadelphia.
God damn it.
So I'm practicing pro wrestling, and Bill comes over, and he's like, yeah, man. And I beat Philadelphia. And he didn't like that shit. So Philadelphia went home, and before the next 2 weeks for the next podcast, he practiced his balls off and never told me. Came back, I couldn't get a fucking move in. Not a move. I'm like, hi, I'm King Kine Korn, or whatever the fuck his name is, King Karn Korn. And you just destroyed me, and then I was like, I'll be the fucking Amazon. With the bite in the face, not an option. You're kind of a prick, actually. Like, you're not good at the video
game. I downloaded the emulator and played.
You just practiced your fucking tits off, and then you came back and just destroyed my face.
Revenge!
It was very upsetting.
To quote Zod.
So we don't play that anymore. And now Johnny Mac's wife wants to have a fucking function and come play fucking Uno, and she's out of her goddamn mind. Tiffany, you're out of your fucking mind.
And I'm allowed to come, finally.
Finally.
Well, I've always wanted to come to game nights.
Don't steal it. Here's the... All right, you want to talk? We have a air quotes game night. We have never played a game. They drink what? Around that table, and we talk shit for 7, 9, 10 hours.
That sounds lovely.
It's amazing.
I'm bringing Tiff.
That's the gig. You're supposed to bring the Tiff. Excellent. That's how the shit works. So it's pretty glorious. It's like a whole thing.
Okay.
A whole Jamie thing. Not anyone gets that reference. All right. what do you watch on TV, Bill? Like, what's your secret shows that you don't tell anyone about that you dig?
I really don't watch TV. Hold on. Let me think. What's the last thing I watched on TV? YouTube is mainly. Like, I'll just go through shit on YouTube.
All right, you're gay.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong with
Someone
that.
Someone tuned in. This is a whole Jamie thing. All right, listen. There was a show. Have you heard of Honey Boo Boo?
Oh, that's that fat wreck of a fucking scumbag family.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck them. I would never watch that.
Anyway. Mama June... Disgusting. Who used to be referred to as the human thumb.
Yeah.
By, who's the guy in Community? What's his name?
The guy from E?
Yes, who was on Community.
He also hosted the...
Talk Soup.
Yeah, Talk Soup. And
I want to say Craig Ferguson, but that's not his fucking name.
No, it's the guy after.
No, Craig Ferguson never hosted Talk Soup.
Jim Scott, Mike, Bob, Billy, I don't know.
I can see his face in my mind.
Jeff.
Anyway, so that fucking guy would refer to the mom... as the human thumb on Talk Soup, right? Because she looked like a thumb. All right. They did a new show. I married somebody. We had cable. She found this thing called WeTV that I have never fucking heard of on cable. I've never heard of WeTV ever, right? And she starts watching The Redemption of Mama June or the remaking or whatever.
Why?
Oh, Mama June from Not Too Hot. And they got her the surgery.
Never.
They got her the surgery. And she got thin, and they did, like, face work, and she got her teeth fixed, and she looked passable as a person, okay? Passable.
Almost
not,
human.
Not hot, but almost human. Yeah, like a Kiss song. Yeah. Almost human. Anyway, Gene Simmons' birthday was, like, 2 days ago. Was it yesterday? I don't know. Hi, it's me, Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Rock and roll is dead.
Anyway, so she's watching this fucking show. When you're married, you tend to have to see things you don't want to see.
Yeah.
So she gets caught doing what she's doing. We break up. She leaves. We get divorced. Whatever, whatever. But now, when I was watching it, I got sucked into the Mama June show.
God damn it.
Let me finish. Just a little bit. And in the interim, Mama June becomes a straight up for real crackhead. For real. Abandons the little girl. Abandons the 19-year-old girl. And just goes on a crack run.
Good for her.
On TV. Her boyfriend, I think his name is Gino. Yeah, it was definitely Gino. Her and Gino are just like... cocaine across the country. She sold her house. That was like $500,000 for like what?
Can I interject?
Yes.
Why wouldn't the producer step in and stop this travesty from happening again?
No. I'll tell you why.
Ratings.
Exactamundo. And I got sucked in.
Fucking why.
I'm in now. But here's the real answer, Philadelphia. Here's the real answer. So I'm sucked in and I'm watching Mama June like fall apart on national television every week. And sometimes I'd watch it live. I wouldn't DVR it. And commercials would come up. And there was this show. They're like, the brand new show from the producers of 90 Day Fiancé. Have you watched 90 Day Fiancé?
Nope.
That shit's magical. From the producers of 90 Day Fiancé, Love After Lockup.
Jesus.
And you're like,
Christ.
What? So it's like regular people like us, not really like me, more like you. And they fucking write letters to prisoners on dating sites. They become a thing. The prisoner comes out, moves into their house, fucks their whole life up.
Oh, great.
It is fucking glorious. So now Friday nights, and I got Johnny Mac's wife, Tiffany, into this shit.
After lockup.
There's love before lockup, love after lockup, love during lockup. There's a myriad of them. And it's on WeTV on Friday nights. Dude, it's Friday right fucking now as we record this. It is like almost 1 o'clock. By 9 o'clock tonight. Now, I get sucked into Love After Lockup, right? Which is, by the way, glorious. I'm now vested in the Mama June show, right? You with me? You're not even listening.
I'm listening.
Then Mama June, as she's like recovering from the crack, now she's off the crack, takes her fat children, the women parts, like the adult ones, not the children ones, to a high-end fat girl beauty salon in Las Vegas. Now, I don't know what the title of this fucking show is, but now I'm sucked into this fucking show, right?
So I
DVR sucked down. When Mama June's show ended for the season. She, by the way, gave up fucking, what's her name?
Child custody rights?
Yeah, custody rights for Honey Boo Boo to one of her own kids.
How did I call it?
Yeah, you called it. So that happens. That's the end of the season. Now Love After Lockup starts. After Love After Lockup, there's like Fat Chick fucking Beauty Salon. I don't know what it's called. Look it up. There's a name. Fuck, I might look it
Hog
up.
Hog Heaven.
But Jamie Perez is this woman's fucking name. Found her on Instagram. She was like 800 fucking pounds. And she lost like 200 pounds in the past year or something.
And a poodle in her asshole.
She a big girl. She a big girl. Big-ums. So she says, I did not get out of bed for 2 years, and I built this salon from my bed using my laptop and my phone. And this chick has a live-in boyfriend. With a waist. He's actually normal. A live-in boyfriend. And they think he's cheating. There's like a whole thing.
That is a homeless guy that needed a place to stay.
No. He's a person of color. I got called racist on one of my videos recently.
No.
What the fuck? No, I'm not racist. The haircuts doesn't mean I'm racist. That's the whole thing. I told a story about Rick James and the Manson family, and all the comments were like, that's kind of racist. It really happened, by the way.
I remember that story.
Yeah, I'm fucking telling you, and they fucking call me racist. Very sad. Super Sized Salon. Thank you, Olivia. That's the name of it. Look that fucking shit up. It is amazing. And like, everybody there should be dying of a heart attack right fucking now. So, do you know that the young people of America, when they refer to something, they're like, this is a whole ass thing. This is a whole ass room. I'm a whole ass man. You understand? Have you heard that before?
They're a whole ass woman?
I have changed it because her name's Jamie, the big fat lady.
Yeah.
So it's a whole Jamie thing. So if I'm telling a story that's a whole ass thing, I'm like, it's a whole Jamie thing.
Okay.
And no one gets that joke.
That's where it came from.
Fucking funny, though.
I thought it was a girl you knew, Jamie, that you had a story about, but it's just a show.
I wonder, I had to have slept with a Jamie over the years, right?
Just not that one.
No, I just...
You'd remember.
I'm pretty good with the names. Every time you come up with a name, like, hey, I didn't sleep with one of them. So are you looking on your phone? So for real, you don't watch anything? You DVR nothing? There's no shows in the world that you like?
No.
That show Severance that we watched on fucking Apple TV?
I never finished it. I had to sign up for Apple, and I just haven't because...
You enjoyed it, though, right?
No, I thought it was great. I will finish it one day. I'll sign up for Apple. Trying to think. I watched the... I have Shudder, which is the horror network.
Yeah.
So I watched the documentary on Gwar.
Any good?
Excellent.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it.
Did they tell the truth about the heroin and shit?
They tell you all kinds of shit, yeah.
No, but did they tell the truth? I'm
serious. Yeah, they talk about...
Because he died of an overdose.
They show you the funeral and everything.
Aww.
Yeah, no, they talk about the drug use and they're honest about all that. It was like 2 hours long, so I watched it over like the course of 2 nights. It was worth it. It was definitely like... I like Shudder because it's all the old horror movies.
What's your favorite old horror movie?
Friday the 13th Part 2.
Part 2.
Part 2.
So no Kevin Bacon for you.
No.
Hi, Tiffany. You've gotten 17 shout outs in this episode. It's nice that you're watching the live, so hello. It's a whole Jamie thing. You should rewind this, by the way. But again, Super Size Salon is fucking amazing. Look that shit up. How much you pay a month for the Shudder Network?
$5 a month.
$5 is good.
Yeah, yeah. And now, I think that's what Apple probably is, too.
I don't know. I don't pay that.
$5 or $20. I don't
know. See, $5 or $20 is a big fucking jump.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, $5, $20.
No. I can give you $5 because think about... All right. I still pay for cable because I'm fucking stupid. But I like the Eagles, and I want to see the Eagles games.
Yeah.
So that's why I pay for it, right?
Okay.
So it's a whole thing. I'm paying $180 a month for my channels, for two televisions, so two boxes, and my internet. Do you want to move your chair because of the sun?
No, I'm good.
You sure? Because you don't want one of these.
Get in a tan.
So we got fucking skylights, and we never record this time of the day, so now there's like shit. And look, I'm wearing a nice shirt from the funeral. Aw, poor Billy. Not this Billy. That Billy. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm paying for the fucking cable. Then Netflix went up. It's like $19 a month or something, right? So I pay Netflix. Then I pay for the gym. That's $20 a month. Did not go up. Pretty cool. And then what else do I have? I pay for Amazon Prime. Dude, this is a fucking complaint. I apologize in advance, Philadelphia. I'm going to fucking tell you.
All right, do it.
I never signed up for Amazon Prime.
I've heard of that
like
happening.
Like 7 years ago, roughly, I was ordering a lot of shit. And I didn't check my accounting. Every single time I paid for something on Amazon, you check it. I normally check at the end of the month when I get my what's it called?
Your statement?
Yes, the statement. I'm an old man. So I get the statement, and then I cross-check things, and whatever, whatever. So I just out of nowhere, a thing pops up. Like, you have access to Amazon Prime Video. I'm like, that's fucking awesome. I didn't even know about that. No, they just charged me, and I didn't know about it. So now every fucking year, they just charge me, and never, ever, 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 ever once. But I do appreciate the second day air, and then I order it today, and it's here tomorrow type of shit.
Yeah,
I do like
nice.
That part. I don't know Apple. Not Apple. Amazon, you motherfucker. So I have Amazon Prime. The reason I liked having Amazon Prime is Michael Belinsky, the owner of the Loud and Loaded Network, which
yes.
carries the Vex on Vex podcast.
Cheap plug.
Available on the Podbean application on your phone, had us in a movie that was on there. You weren't on that shit, but it was me and that fucking band Psychotica and a whole bunch of people.
Nice.
And it was like Love Language with Vex. It was fucked up. I had a little section. So I had a number one movie on Amazon Prime for a short time.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. It was like a documentary.
Do you have an IMDb because of that?
I do.
Excellent.
Vex X Starscream. And all my shit pops up. I'm in a couple of fucking awful movies too that no one's ever seen, but they exist. Murder Challenge, that was one.
Debbie Does, Dallas 37.
How does one get into porno in your opinion, Philadelphia? How the fuck does that happen?
Right place, right time.
Nah, I don't know. I'm not a porn guy.
What would your porn name be?
I wouldn't do it.
No?
Dick Broken. Hi, I'm Dick Broken. Hi.
Strokes McGee.
To my knowledge, everybody in porn has herpes, and I've done a lot of stuff, and knock on wood, no herpes. So I don't do that.
You never had herpes like this.
Are you saying you have herpes here on the Vex and Vex podcast?
I am not saying any. I plead the fifth.
There may or may not have been a band member of Starscream. There were some groupies, and there was a thing, and he was like, I can't partake. I'm like, there's groupies! And he's like, I cannot partake. He had the herpes.
And he had a southern accent, too.
No, he didn't. But it's nice that he told us, that he had the herpes. Although I did find it odd. I don't know. It was very weird. I'm just glad he didn't bang those people, because I banged those people, and it would have been weird. Good times.
That would have been an interesting Eskimo situation.
And a lot of Eskimo brothers. Dude, if you wear a condom, you can still get herpes, because it's skin-to-skin contact.
Yeah.
Very upsetting
stuff. So is monkeypox.
Monkeypox! Okay.
Here we go.
Not to be culturally insensitive.
Uh-oh.
But let's call it what it is. Is this or is this not a homosexual transmitted disease?
Well, they're saying yes, but it's also apparently at conventions, because if somebody with it touches a counter and then I come along and lean on that counter, I can get it. So convention goers are also getting affected.
So people are putting
their
cock and balls on the
convention counter? Hand. If you touch an area that has it, because it gets on your legs or your mouth, you know, like the boils. Have you seen what it looks like?
Oh, I've seen what it looks like.
So say somebody has it on their leg and scratches, and then they touch a table, and then I come along and lean on that table. I'm getting it. That's how it's happening. They say at conventions like that.
I hear what you're saying.
It's scary.
How come everybody who has it so far is a homosexual?
No, not everybody that has it. There's kids
Do you know
in Georgia that have it.
Do you know any human being on the planet Earth does not engage in sex with the same sex of people who has monkeypox currently? I'm just curious.
I don't know personally, but I've read stories that there's many different people.
Stories that this guy called Santa Claus. It doesn't make it fucking real.
So you're saying that the stories of the people that are not homosexual that have it.
I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know either, because goddamn, this got confusing.
I'm playing devil's advocate, though.
Yeah,
so,
but that's the wrong way to do it. Like,
no, it's not a fucking thing. It's not a fucking thing. Even if I got it on my fucking hand, which I hope I don't. I wear gloves everywhere, by the way. That's what I do. I wear gloves. Not on my weenus, on my hands. So what I'm saying, I don't know, man. And every story in New York City, we have a breakout, and they make like a fucking a video thing about it. They're like, hey, by the way, I went to a thing over the weekend, and I had slept with 11 men, and I woke up today, and I'm covered in boils. Like, and then, This is fucked up. So earmuffs, this is bad shit. Perhaps I should take myself off the camera. I'm still going to say it. Whenever you see footage of a gay guy who has it, if it's in his hand, he was the jerk-off guy.
Yeah.
If it's in his mouth,
he was
putting
catcher.
His mouth. If it's in his hand,
That's
how it works, man. Not fucking conventions. Oh, I went to a convention, put my cock and balls on the table. Oh, Bill W. leaned in it. Oh, he's got it on his elbow.
So
get the fuck out of here.
So to use a baseball term, that guy was a three-tool fielder.
Again, I don't know. And I love gay people. I'm not talking shit. But they're like, the news is definitely, especially during an election year, and I am not political. I will stress this again. I'm not political. They're trying to build up the hype of drama. right?
It's bullshit.
I'm not saying it's not bullshit. I'm just saying, is it really going to affect you? Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Listen, if I get it next week at the convention center, I'm coming back and I'm swearing.
I'm going to lock the fucking door.
I didn't touch a cack.
I didn't touch a cack.
I'm going to be up in the window up here. I didn't touch a cack.
You can put it all over the skylight. I don't care about that. Just not on this beautiful face here. And then I was like, I better get into a relationship because if it is sexually transmitted, you never know.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, be gay.
Yeah,
love
be
the top.
As gay as you want.
But just maybe fucking cool it out until the shit. Dude, all right. They try to tell us that somebody fucked a monkey. And that's what the first HIV virus was from.
All right, so what was it, down Alabama?
No. Oh, no. I'm not going to say what continent it was on, but let's just say it wasn't this one.
Well, I can figure it out. Never mind.
So, somebody fucks a monkey, they get it. There was this one fuck that they found him. He's like patient X. This one airline steward. He was a gentleman with a nice fucking Freddie Mercury mustache and shit.
Yes.
Probably covering the monkeypox in there. So he gets the mustache. He fucked everything that moved. Nice. And he was just flying around from city to city, spreading HIV. Like, woo-hoo, woo!
Get a party favor. And
you get a party favor. Oh, fuck, you're dead. And that's some sad shit. But like, I don't know, man. They just can't stop fucking. They just, they're like, all right, maybe I'll take the summer off. I'll just jerk off and watch male porn. Nope. Be careful out there, gentlemen. But I feel like it's kind of afflicting that section of the population and not all the sections of the population. And when they get on TV and they're like, this is a national emergency. Is it? I don't know.
Well, I mean, have you seen the neighborhood?
I haven't been there. Well, I'm afraid to go now because the monkey...
Roll your windows up when you're driving down 13th Street?
The first time I'd ever seen... Wait, hold on. A trans person, because I was going to call him a different word, and this woman I'm seeing was like, do not use that word. But I was like, I feel like that's the word. It's not the word. It is a trans person fighting a male gay person. We were playing Doc Watson's in like...
Oh, yeah.
98, 99.
Arch Street.
The park, right around the corner, and we get out, and it's Gabriel Land. And I had this 18-year-old bass player. Yeah, I guess it was like 98. He was a kid. He was 18 years old.
No, wait. That was an art. I was thinking of the bookstore at Arch Street. Never mind. Carry on.
It was 11th Street, but yeah. It was in the neighborhood. It was 11th, something, 12th, I don't know what it was. We'll look it up
Chestnut.
Later. No, it wasn't Chestnut, it was 11th Street. And then...
Cross Street, I mean.
Not Chestnut. What's the fucking Einstein Medical? Anyway, it doesn't fucking matter. Down there, we get out, a trans person, hooker, was fighting a gay dude, hooker, and they were scrapping. And I was like, welcome to Philadelphia, this is the neighborhood. Let's go play a rock and roll show. This poor kid was freaked the fuck out. It was a whole Jamie thing, but that happened. It's not as funny as maybe in my head as I see it, but it was a thing. You got to call them trans people now.
Yes.
They used to be called something else. Remember, all right, the Andrew Dice Clay would call them trans testicles. Remember that shit?
Yes. My friends used to call them Transformers.
That's a good one.
Or Decepticons.
Oh, that's mean.
I know, that's mean.
I don't fucking approve of that, Philadelphia. Philadelphia said that. That wasn't the Vex on Vex podcast.
I didn't mean it. It's just what I was told it was when I was younger. I do not use that word anymore.
I've grown. I don't know. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to look right in your face. You ready? This is a camera and this is a fucking podcast and all that shit.
There's a camera on me right now.
No, on me.
Okay.
I am a full-fledged believer. Do whatever the fuck you want. Be you. Be a woman. Be a man. Be a shoehorn. Whatever. Honk.
Be fabulous.
Whatever makes you happy. Don't hurt kids.
Nope.
And don't really hurt people. And I got your back.
Don't hurt animals.
Yeah. Who the fuck? I think you have to be like mentally ill or hurt animals. Like, who the fuck really hurts an animal?
Dude, I hear a story about people kicking dogs and it drives me nuts. Why would you kick your dog?
I don't know.
Fucking disgusting.
I liked my doggies. Hey, Wolf. I babysat some greyhounds earlier this week.
I saw the photos. Looked like you had a great time.
I'll be honest with you. I hadn't lived with a dog in a very long time, and this house is a house of dogs that I was in. I wore my work clothes specifically.
Yeah.
I got covered.
Oh, yeah.
I had to go to my girl's house, and she had to roller me.
Oh, yeah.
Before we went to dinner. And then, Crafty Crab. You know what the Crafty Crab is?
What's that?
All right. It's like a chain restaurant, but for seafood.
Okay.
And we get in the vehicle. After I'm dog sitting, we're going to the Crafty Crab. I'm going to have fucking crabs. I'm very excited. We go in. This is a true story. The woman who's supposed to greet you at the door must have been asleep, because she gets up and she's like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, come with me. And we're like, okay. We follow her to the fucking thing. She sits us down. But she's visibly just woken up and annoyed by our presence, I might add. Sits us at a table. It's like a crowded little area. There were three waitstaff people. No one would make eye contact with our table. So after literally 12 minutes, because I timed it, I was like, we're leaving. Fuck this. Like, people were passing us. No one asked us if we wanted a beverage. No one brought us anything. We had the menus from the person who sat us, who I don't want to even call a hostess because she wasn't much of hosting. We just got up and we were annoyed. And we walked into the car. We crossed the street to the other side of the highway, and there was like a mom and pop version of the same fucking restaurant that was cheaper with fantastic food.
Nice.
And of course, I don't know the name of that fucking place because I'm a bad fucking patron, but it was really great. We had thoroughly enjoyed our food.
So where is this crappy crab located?
611.
Ah, okay.
I believe in the Abington area,
yes,
maybe?
Jenkintown? I love that area.
Yeah. Yeah. Willow Grove, I guess it's between Willow Grove and Abington, but it's on 611.
Very nice.
They're fucking shit. Fuck Rift. Like, fuck you guys. Like, for real? Like, they wouldn't even fucking acknowledge us. Oh, I'm sorry. The name of the other restaurant, this is so fucked up, was O, the letter O, Hot. So I'm like, oh, it's owned by Irish people. No, it wasn't O Hots. It was owned by Asian people, but the food was fantastic.
Excellent.
O Hot. So if you're on 611 and you want seafood, go to Oh Hot. Although it's not Asian, I'm sorry, it's not Irish people. It's like misleading. Culturally, it's like inappropriation because it's Oh Hot. You're like, oh, O'Flannery's. No. They're fucking,
Jesus.
They're Asians. Fantastic service, though. Very, very good food.
Excellent.
Where's your favorite place to eat, Philadelphia?
Oh, shit. Okay. No, it's Avenue Steaks. I always just get it ordered. You know, I have it delivered, but it's called Avenue Steaks down on... by Broad in Oregon. Fantastic steaks, fantastic pizza.
Really?
They're next level, man.
Living out here in the borderline suburbs, the pizza is lacking.
Oh, they have a truffle honey pizza.
A truffle honey pizza.
Yeah, it's insane. They have a three-layered pizza. They have everything. Like, the buffalo chicken pizza is phenomenal. Just everything they do is out of this world.
I just want fucking pizza.
Yeah,
I don't need like 35 toppings.
No,
I don't
just
know,
their regular
man.
Pizza is incredible too. Like, they're just really good. But like, I get their cheesesteak with pepper and mozzarella, and it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. You get the chopped peppers in there. It's incredible.
Choppy, choppy, choppy.
Ah, oh, it's amazing. I'm fat. I like to eat.
You just lost 20 fucking pounds.
I know, but I'm still a little fat.
I lost 10 pounds for the Dobbs show on purpose.
Excellent.
Gained 2 of it back.
Oh, okay.
Probably gained more in the
after
past 2 days.
After this breakfast.
No, I didn't eat that much, actually.
Only had the chicken. Yeah, you're good.
But normally when I go to the diner, for real, I get 2 meals. I'm a pig, bro. I get 2 eggs over light with a side of French fries. That's a whole fucking Jamie meal by itself.
Yeah.
And then I get a full order of cinnamon raisin French toast.
I remember that. Yes.
And I would have gotten that this morning, even though it's the third time I've been there this week, which isn't good. Where we were sitting, the table was kind of tiny, and I couldn't have 2 plates.
Yeah. That kind of assisted.
Assisted?
That was a tight spot. Very, very tight spot.
Johnny Mack told me that currently there is a documentary playing about the great David Bowie in the theaters.
Excellent.
Any thoughts on this?
I would love to see it.
He said it's an IMAX.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
It is awesome, right?
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
After he passed away, there was one that was on like Showtime, maybe. It was called 5 Years. I DVR'd it, but it only covered 5 years of his career.
Okay.
But it was called 5 Years. Now, the last song, it was the first song. The first song in Ziggy Stardust was called 5 Years. So that's what it was named after. And they only did the 5 year run, which was cool.
That's pretty cool.
But Bowie did so much, it has to be like more in depth. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Do you remember the first time you heard David Bowie?
Yeah. In the late 80s. Early 80s. China Girl.
Which is fucking technically an Iggy Pop song. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard he had something to do with writing it.
No, it's his song.
Oh,
so it was an Iggy Pop song. China Girl's an Iggy Pop song. And then Nile Rodgers was the producer of the David Bowie record.
Yeah.
And they took the song, you know, the beginning?
Yeah. Was that Nile Rodgers playing?
Yeah,
that beginning?
I don't know if he played it, but he wrote it.
Okay.
And then Bowie's guitar player probably played it. And then that became, oh, China Girl.
Yeah.
How Bowie sings shit. But that was really an Iggy Pop song. Iggy Pop made an obscene amount of money because of that recording of that song.
Good for him.
Because if you remember, when Bowie came out with the yellow suit, like early, mid-80s, like 84-ish, 83-ish, he was like Madonna, Prince popular. Like,
yeah.
He was a pop fucking star.
Yeah.
And he had met Nile Rodgers in a bar. Maybe it's late later, because Nile Rodgers was hanging out with David Bowie. And there's Nile Rodgers. He comes in and I apologize. Nile Rodgers was hanging out with White Woman. White Wedding. White Wedding. Billy Idol. Nile Rodgers, Billy Idol out drinking. Nile Rodgers walks in and Billy Idol's like, "That's David Blah!" And he pukes. Right? He's like, "Well, that was funny." He looks over and David Bowie was just smoking a cigarette like this.
Of course he was.
By himself in the corner, just watching, listening to music and watching people dance. Like, "Little China Girl." So Nile Rodgers walks up. He's like, "Hi, I'm Nile Rodgers." Like, "You're the guy who produces hit records." And he's like, "Sometimes." Like, "You should produce my next record. I'm David Bowie." And he's like, "Yeah, I know who you are, David Bowie." And then he made the fucking record.
That's awesome.
Dude, that's some of the best Bowie shit.
Bowie was fantastic.
And then he bends over backwards to kill it, and Glass Spider Tour wasn't that big a deal. I don't know if you know this. Peter Frampton, remember Peter Frampton Comes Alive? Yeah. He was the guitar player on the Glass Spider Tour.
Oh, I did not.
Because he couldn't get arrested in the 80s. Like, Peter Frampton was like, "I don't know, nobody likes Peter Frampton. I'm not very popular. I'm just saying." Robot's watching! Hi, Robot.
Hey, Rob. How are you doing?
So what happens when the podcast runs, we do a fucking simulcast on Facebook Live now. And our friend Robot has tuned in. Robot, we miss you dearly, sir.
We need to podcast with you again.
It's true. He's a busy man. We were talking in the car. Sorry, here it goes. I don't know if he's going to know him. So Robot, Billy Bottles, Bill Morrissey was his name, his God-given name, passed away. And today was his funeral, hence me in a monkey suit. Now we're having a podcast together, me in Philadelphia. We were talking in the car about who's winning at life so far. And Bill's like, "Oh, Vix, you're doing pretty well." And I'm like, "No, you're doing really well." Guess who's coming tomorrow night? Robot, who's coming tomorrow night? Anyway, because I'm very curious. We're fucking doing our thing. I think Robot wins at life.
Yeah.
He has the biggest house out of all of us. He's got his own fucking pool in the yard with a beautiful deck. His son's happy and healthy.
Got a great family.
Great family. I think Robot wins.
Awesome dog.
There's two now. There's two dogs.
Oh, two dogs. Two awesome dogs.
It's a good time.
And great toy collection.
The best toy collection probably on the fucking Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah, I hope you're happy, man. I hope you're really living it up because you deserve it.
If he looks behind me, my fucking glass cases for my belts, I got them because of Robot. He told me what to get. Because
the toys are in those versions at his house, right?
There's a rumor that Robot might attend the Starscream performance tomorrow night.
What?
What? That's amazing. Starscream plays at 10 p.m. 10 p.m. tomorrow night, which is the 27th of August 2022 in the year of our Lord, as they say.
Where is it at? Bar 13?
Halftime Bar and Grill. Oh. I told you. It's in Newark. It's far.
Okay.
You should go. Robot's going. How fucking cool is that? I'm excited about that.
Excellent.
So he won at life. Robot was the first one to have a big house. The first one. He's still in that beautiful fucking house.
Good.
It's a nice house.
Excellent.
It's got a nice roof.
It is a nice house. Oh, somebody we know must have done the
roof. No, I didn't. They wanted me to.
What?
I'm going to tell you the truth. They didn't need a roof. The wife was being cray-cray. They didn't need a roof.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I don't like taking people's money unless they need it, and they got a brand new roof. The new fucking roof looks good, though. I'm not going to say it doesn't. I feel you. There we go. So back to our thing. David Bowie.
Bowie.
You ever see him live?
No, but when I worked at Sigma, he was in Sigma recording. They did a segment for WMMR. For a charity. So it was like $1,000 a seat for people to come in and sit around while Bowie and Reeves Gabriel played acoustic guitar and told little stories.
And you never gave me the recording of that, by the way. You are the worst.
That. I do have a copy of that in the vault for you. Burner. I have to get a CD burner on my computer, but I will make that happen.
No one does that anymore, do they?
No, but I do have a standalone CD burner in a box and a hat, like I just bought it. And I put it away, but I will find it in
this
the coming
is a,
months.
A new laptop for the Vex on Vex podcast. My my dear friend Lee Majors had modernized it for me, made it awesome. Excellent. He said we can just buy a separate like burner and I can
bring
things.
I have a burner at home somewhere. I just got to pull it out and hook it up and make you a copy.
When new records come out or new releases from bands, I want to purchase a physical CD.
Yes.
And more, it's not an option.
No.
And I don't have a way. I don't subscribe to anything. I guess I have to go on iTunes, like you said, and buy the record on iTunes.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of that shit.
I know.
It really upsets me.
I'd rather have something I can read and hold. And
the reading, yeah, I guess it is. Remember when we were kids,
it was albums.
Dude, not even that. The first thing I had gotten was cassette tapes because I didn't have like a nice fucking vinyl. And you could read Appetite for Destruction and like all the lyrics and what the fuck happens and like.
Little jokes in there.
Actually, there were no lyrics in that I remember. There were a lot of artwork, though. Yeah. And Motley Crue always had fucking cool shit in their records.
Guns N' Roses had awesome artwork in theirs. Remember that thing with the knives?
The robot with the knives?
Yeah.
That killed the Reaper robot? Why was there even a Reaper robot? Why was a robot raping? Like, I don't understand.
How many rapes would a robot rape if a robot could rape rapers? yeah, that GNR album, Appetite, was a great... it was a great cassette to have because that was some great artwork in there.
And then remember, it was released in the summer of 87. No one cares. Yeah.
12 years old.
Summer of 88.
Everybody cared.
Yeah.
Yeah, because 13 is when I discovered them.
Mom, what year were you born?
75.
Okay.
88.
By the Bill, I love the new song you dropped. Sorry, on a 4-day weekend and walking the mall with my kid. He loves your new song.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much.
Robot Phillips is the best, dude.
He is.
Robot. Good peoples.
He listened to it.
You're going to tell me the fucking merits of fucking hanging out with your boy, the worst guitar player in American history, Kurt Hammett?
He's a lovely person. Stop it.
You know what he owns that makes me very, very upset?
An awesome guitar collection?
That's funny you say that. Do you know who Peter Green was?
No.
Peter Green is the original blues guitar player for Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
And singer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
okay.
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
His 59 Gibson Les Paul, Kurt has.
Really? That must get under your skin.
And a real 59 is like $1.5 million. Do you know the fucking Slash story with Joe Perry?
I think you told it to me on a podcast previously.
Well, we're going to recap it very
quickly. Yeah, let's recap.
So what happens is when Slash is a teenager... He had an Aerosmith poster on his wall, and in the poster, Joe Perry's holding a 59 tobacco Gibson Les Paul. And Slash said at the time, he didn't know what a tobacco was. He knew what the bursts were, but tobacco was rare to him. He was a kid. He didn't get it, right? And I believe it's the guitar that he uses on Toys in the Attic and probably rocks, okay? Well, he leaves Aerosmith in the late 70s, early 80s. He makes the Joe Perry Project. That falls on hard times. And they didn't know... in the late 70s, early 80s, what these guitars would be worth eventually. So he sells the 59 Gibson Les Paul to a pawn shop for probably nothing. Meanwhile, a couple of years go by. In the interim, Slash becomes really fucking famous as Sweet Child of Mine. They're on tour for that record. And management gets a message, and they're like, Slash, this guy says he has the tobacco 59 Joe Perry Gibson Les Paul. The real one, not a replica. And Slash is like, well, have him send me photographs because I know every scratch and indentation on that fucking guitar. I know that guitar. And he said he forgot about it. He comes home from tour like 3 months later, and there and waiting in his doorstep is the fucking or the photographs. He flips it open, he reads it, and he's like, this is it. This is the wow. Joe Perry 59. And he said the guy didn't even know what he had. So he charged him like $8,000, which in 88 is a lot of
fucking
money.
Yeah, that's a lot
money.
Of money back then.
It's like 16 or 17 grand today. Yeah. So he paid the $8,000 because he had it, and boom, he's got Joe Perry's fucking guitar.
Wow.
They make the Illusion records. He doesn't really use it, but he used it in the video for November Rain.
Oh, okay? Oh, that was that one.
Ha ha!
Okay.
And with the helicopter swooping
with the solo
in,
on the cliff?
That is the Joe Perry
shit.
Guitar. And he said he never toured with it because it's a real 59,
yeah.
And it's Joe's. And then Joe, in the interim... Aerosmith blows up. Dude looks like a lady. The Aerosmith pump record.
Love in an elevator. Vacation. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Made a lot of money. He was like, Slash, please sell me back my fucking guitar. And he's like, yeah, I can't do it, but I'm sorry. So when Joe Perry, I think, turned 60, maybe 65, Slash gave it to him.
No shit.
How fucking cool is that?
That's fucking amazing.
A real 59. And by the time Joe Perry turns 60 or 65, it's $1.5 million.
That guitar's worth tons. Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad he gave it back to him.
And Gibson heard the fucking story. And they got him another real 59.
Really? To replace it?
Yeah, kind of. Like, hey, we know you gave Joe's back to him. And for a pretty good price, another collector sold him one. So Slash now has a real 59. He has a couple, but he has this one that's like reminiscent of the Perry one.
It, like the tobacco finish?
I believe it is. But
that's
it's just
awesome.
Like brighter. But yeah, that's a great fucking story. Like
yeah,
Slash is a stand-up guy. And you got to imagine... He's like, can you imagine being the pawn shop guy who's having a Joe Perry 59? Not a 59, a Joe Perry 59 on classic Aerosmith records. That's $1 million guitar.
How did nobody else buy this in that time between getting it and giving it
to Slash? Because when Sweet Child of Mine comes out, Slash made Gibson Les Paul re-popular. Because of Eddie Van Halen, which is to your left.
Yeah.
That motherfucker, everybody had Strats, Hamers, Jackson. Nobody wanted the heavy bulkiness of a Gibson Les Paul.
Yeah.
It's a unique thing.
But Slash brought that back. Yeah, okay.
Single-handedly,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, really, really.
It was a whole Jamie thing.
Jesus Christ.
Which really means whole ass thing.
Whole ass thing. Whole ass Jamie. It's that time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 151 of the Vex on Vex podcast. The Vex on Vex podcast is available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network. Philadelphia, thank you for your time.
Thank you as always.
In summation, ladies and gentlemen, please raise your drinks, pour out some liquor, and remember fondly our dear friend Billy Bottles, his God-given name Bill Morrissey, his great band Euphoria. Good luck to everyone still around. We will send nothing but love and happiness, thoughts and prayers, as they say to his parents. This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.